Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Abijah, good to see you. Abijah's mom, I've forgotten your name.
Kathy.
Kathy, nice to see you. And you're a new face, are you?
My name is Tina.
Excuse me?
Tina.
Tina. Welcome.
Thank you.
How did you hear about us?
I found you on the internet.
Oh, yeah. What will we do without the internet? It's good for something, really. Let's do introductions around.
You too.
Donovan.
Jeffrey.
Wendy.
Sanya. Rit. Tina.
Sam.
Claire.
Angie. So we're in the middle of a very interesting and strange and ancient Zen poem called The Precious Mirror Samadhi. We've gotten to about the fourth day. We have copies of it somewhere. I have one copy of it only that I can share with whoever doesn't have one. Have you seen it, Abijah? You studied it at Jikoji, probably. Yeah. Michael teaches it. So we've come to the place of... always just about to spill this thing. Do it this way. Like a babe in the world, in five aspects complete, it does not come or go, go or come, nor rise nor stand. Baba Wawa. Is there anything said or not? Ultimately, it does not apprehend anything because its speech is not yet correct. It is like the six lines of the illumination hexagram. Relative and ultimate interact. Piled up, they make three. The complete transformation makes five. It is like the taste of the five-flavored herb, like a diamond thunderbolt. Subtly included within the true, inquiring and response come up together. Communing with the source, travel the pathways, embrace the territory and treasure the road. Respecting this is fortunate. Do not neglect it. Pretty strange. So, those five characteristics are the characteristics of Buddha or Tathagata, coming and going, arising, staying, and speaking. So it's us. It's how it is to be us. And although we imagine that we are orchestrating and running our life, in a lot of ways we are like a baby that can hardly even speak. Baba Wawa. Something comes out of our mouths and sometimes it even makes sense. It's wonderful. It's still... inexpressible. However we try to say clearly how things are, still we can never reach it. It's always very, very clumsy and doesn't really you know that frustration of trying to express something and knowing that you really can't say it like it is. It's always that way with us. And since what we're talking about in this little poem is what's inconceivable, or what I always call the untalkaboutable, it's even more frustrating. We, because of the way our minds, our brains are put together, we can only say one thing at a time. So if we say it's this way, we can't say it's that way. You notice we just chanted, form does not differ from emptiness. Well, that does not differ part is all extra. Form and emptiness, we're trying to say, is like that. It's like saying form and emptiness and then taking out the and. But our minds don't work very well that way, in the way that our intellect works. So this kind of material is pointing away from the intellect and into the realm of the belly, of the intuitional heart of us, how we know in another way besides logically figuring it all out. The five-flavored herb is actually a real plant that grew in China, maybe it still does, that they say had berries on it that were delicious and actually carried all the five flavors, which are, I always forget what they are, sweet, bitter, sour, salty, and acrid. I don't quite know what acrid is, but that's a taste. So it's a very, very special thing. So what they're describing is the I Ching, which in this diagram that I'm going to share with you, the I Ching comes in pairs. So you have one on the top and one on the bottom, and usually it's two short lines and then a long line and then a long line, or two long lines and then two short lines, or there are many combinations of it. And it used to be that they threw straws and somehow figured out what they got, and then they would know which one of the Book of Changes, of which there are 60, I think. And some of them are good news and some of them are bad news. It's a very interesting exercise in knowing your own mind. It's a complicated way of tossing a coin if you're trying to figure something out. And it gives you some kind of interesting thing to explore in your own mind and in the place where you happen to be at the moment. So it's based on that. It's very, very, very ancient. Goes way back before Tozan. And this particular one is all short lines, and it means fire. It also means something like love. So it's a very, very special one. And it's being used here to express practice. It's so unusual in Zen. We don't do this. We always say it's such a simple thing. We just sit in a plain room with no decorations. There's nothing special about it at all. And yet this is very complicated, and their whole philosophical treatise is written about it. But also, in the Soto tradition, it is carefully taught not to take it seriously. So I'm introducing it, but asking you to take it with a grain of salt. it can become something that you become ambitious about. Say, oh, I want to get farther into this. I want to go higher or better or something. And it's not about that. Absolutely not about that. So Eiken Roshi said about this hexagram, this double Li, Li is the name of it. It's an image of what meditation is like. Buddha's mind is like this hexagram. The central element, the basic building block, is the trigram, three, yang, yin, yang. Yang is masculine, active, talking, warm, and yin is feminine, passive, silent, and cool. The center is feminine, the yin in the middle. The cool, passive, receptive is between two warm, active, talking lines. Quiet heart surrounded by activity. The receptive surrounded by the active is the basic pattern. The Li trigram typified our zazen. The center of our practice is to get in touch with a passive, quiet center, realm beyond thinking. The problem is we think we should be doing something, and that if we're passive, evil will take over. Receive the self in silence and watch the activity of the self that is given. So here is a picture. This is what it looks like. The diamond thunderbolt was originally a horrible weapon of destruction. It was formed with, it was a big hunk of metal, like they, maybe the Stone Age people would make out of stone. And it was used to bludgeon people. And it was taken over by the Tibetans and turned into an indestructible something. And that's the shape of it, that funny shape in the picture. So it's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's based on the moon. And as we know, the moon has many phases, but it's still the moon. That part never changes. So that's one aspect of not taking it seriously. The first part is, the first and the second are opposites, depicting how we ourselves go back and forth between, you could say the relative and the absolute, or trying to one time being very, very, very practical, and the next in a more so-called spiritual realm, something like that. It's the place of enlightenment, those first two. We begin our practice with enlightenment. We forget that. There's so much about enlightenment, this and that we forget that we begin with enlightenment. Otherwise, we would never practice. That's how we came here. So that's what that represents. But it's a kind of unconscious enlightenment. It hasn't been expressed yet. It's how we long for our true home. It's when we take up our way-seeking mind. So the third and the fourth and the fifth are different kinds of integration of the first two. In the first one, its form is emptiness. Longing for our true home, everything is veiled in darkness. In the second one, everything is illuminated. And we enter the phenomenal realm, the realm of life on earth. But something is hidden. The third one in the middle is what's called the pivot point or the center of practice. The dot in the middle is the real. And the white all around it is the provisional. So it's not staying in attainment, not being stuck in enlightenment. The fourth one is totally bright, where we just work for everyone without even thinking about it. It's working in duality and not being bothered by it. Whether it's this way or that way, it doesn't matter. We just go forward. And then the last one is attainment of unity, leaving Zen behind. Not being a Buddhist, not being in anything. So there are various ways of describing this. It's often described as a little child. Deshi Maru wrote a poem about this. That the unity attained ends up like this. The white clouds rise in a steep valley and dissolve away. Only the peaks of the big green mountains rise up to heaven. One old hermit with white hair in his hermitage in the deep valley. He goes to the market in a little town and mixes sincerely with everyone. He comes not, he goes not. How Buddha becomes a child. But Dido Luri had one more thing to say about this. Also a little poem. Why must yang and yin be placed in an arrangement? If you do, you will never have today. When the wind blows, the grasses bend. When the rain comes, the river fills. So I think I told you wrong about the lines. I don't think it can be all short lines because the yang and the yin are long and short. So I think the long one is in the middle and the two short ones on either side. Not that it matters terribly much, but I think that's the way it really goes. So, you might have something to say about this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we were studying the Sandokai, you were talking, which I always thought was very non-intuitive or just opposite, is again the enlightenment or the attainment or illumination being filled in as dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was something that was that you referred to also in the Sandokai, and saying the darkness. Do you remember what part I'm talking about? It was the...
It's in the beginning of it.
Yeah.
It's right here.
can't see where the roots of it lay again. It's different from my mind thinking light and
illumination
is bright or would be white.
Well, that's our Christian tradition. We're always taught, don't hide your light in a basket, and all the things that the Quakers talk about, the inner light, and we do too, actually. Dankoli is all about light. So it's tricky. There are different kinds of ways of talking about something. Yeah. Well, it's right here. The branching streams flow in the dark. The spiritual source shines clear in the light. The branching streams flow on in the dark. So that's at the very beginning. And I think there's more of it in here also. But that's the very first part of it. And then he goes on to talk about refined and common speech come together in the dark. Clear and murky phrases are distinguished in the light. So in the dark, everything belongs together. There's no distinction. And in the light, everything shows up as different. That's how we know it's different, because you can see it. In the darkness, it's the don't know mind. So it's both and. Our tendency is to want to be one or the other, or want it to be one or the other, and somehow try to nail it down in some way and define it, and it won't nail. It won't stay put. So in a way, we're always cycling in and out of these different stages. And if we recognize them in our life and our mind, then we don't get so confused. And we don't tend to long for something to be a certain way, because it's going to be what it's going to be. And then it's easier to acknowledge it and accept it and work with it in some way. We're always working with what happens, whether we're resisting it or working along with it. Usually resistance creates more problems than it's worth. Sometimes we have to resist, of course. Rise up against our 30-year dictator or something, we will resist. Yay. Have to be very careful about how we do things like that. He goes on in the Sandokai, in light there is darkness, but don't take it as darkness. In the dark there is light, but don't see it as light. Light and dark oppose one another like the front and back foot in walking. So that's not real opposition at all. It's just the whole thing going on. And it all belongs together. And it ends, I respectfully urge you who study the mystery, do not pass your days and nights in vain. This, too, is a wonderful poem. And it's on the same subject. It just came a few hundred years before this one, after this one. Anything else? Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? Well, as you see with the paper that I passed out, there's part of another translation of it, and the wording is a little bit different. So you might want to, if you're interested, compare the translation that you have with the that one. You'll see it's not vastly different, but everybody has a slightly different take on what this means or what the English version of it is. Well, we have about 5 minutes. Are there announcements?
Yes. You're not going to be with us next Tuesday night?
Oh, yes, that's right. So, thank you, Wendy. So Shane is next week starting on Monday night. So please come and join us at Chikoji if you can, even if it's for a short time. It's a wonderful experience. Beautiful up there. It's like a park. And it's comfortable these days. So, and the Zendo is a wonderful place to sit. So please do come. And I will be with you in mind on Tuesday night. So. Send it down the mountain somehow.